Open your Bibles to Matthew. And I want to read just a verse or two in Matthew, and then I want to go to the book of Ephesians. Matthew chapter 27. And verse 39. The title of this will be Himself He Cannot Save. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. Now in Matthew 27:39, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Now they cast all those things, they said those hateful things to our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Himself he cannot save. And they meant it as a taunt. They meant as a mockery, to mock him, to add to his torment. But they told the truth.
Yeah.
Himself. He cannot save. He was sent into this world to save a people whom God had loved from eternity past, and they had been committed to his charge, and he was charged with bringing them to glory. He was charged with perfecting them in himself. Perfection was not by the works of man. Perfection was not by the Levitical priesthood, which is associated, which is the priesthood under the law. And the law is married to works and the flesh and death. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to deliver us, his people, from all of those things, to deliver us from the law, from the curse of the law, from punishment under the law, and from death.
Amen.
Now, if he came down from the cross, there'd been no redemption.
Okay.
The price he had to pay was his precious blood.
Amen.
Precious in the eyes of God, precious in the eyes of the saints, precious to all of us whom he has saved. Had he not shed that blood, there'd been no remission. So he could not fulfill the mission that the Father sent him on if he came down from the cross. Now, it would have been a light thing for him to come down the cross physically. He was certainly able to come down the cross, had that been his desire. But the love of the Father, the love of the glory of God, the love of his people, held him fast to that cross, and he could not come down. He could not desert his purpose in coming into this world, which was to save sinners from their sin. So those Pharisees meant it for a taunt and a mockery. But we know what it means. It was our salvation that held him on the cross. Now that his cross, the cross death of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the central point of all of eternity for this universe. It is the most important thing that has happened in all this world. Of course, the creation of the natural world was important. That was important, no doubt it was. But the thing that God intended by the natural creation and by all of the events that led up to the cross and by all the events that have followed the cross is seen in the book of Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to read verse 18 and then we'll move on. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, before our understanding can be enlightened, we have to be visited by the Holy Spirit. And we have to be taught of God. And the Spirit of truth has to be planted in our heart to witness the truth when we hear it. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Whose inheritance? God's inheritance. What's that? That's multiplied billions of people dressed in the glory of His Son and with His character. A multitude of those who are just like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're predestined to. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, as well as being predestined to the adoption of children. And in order to be a child, because we are a child, God freely gives us the nature of a child in order that we can love Him with all of our heart. When these bodies are done away and gone, when we're delivered from this present evil world, then we will be perfected. Well, we're perfected spiritually now, but there's coming a time when we won't even be in the presence of sin. We'll have no sin about us, not anywhere, anyway. We won't even be sinners in the body because we'll have a new body. So, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. All of these things were accomplished. All that God intended and God determined should come to pass were accomplished because the Lord Jesus could not save Himself. He just couldn't do it. And all of these things come to pass. He had to pay the price. Our souls, the purpose of God, the covenant of God, the holiness of God, the judgments of God, everything hung on our Lord Jesus Christ as He hung on that cross. Let's begin in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Had to be by the will of God. Wasn't Paul's will. His will was, he was determined to stomp out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that wasn't God's will. So we see whose will was sovereign in that situation, and it's God's will is sovereign in every situation because He is God. He's the Lord. He's not trying to be. He is Lord. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So this is not only to those that are in Ephesus, but to us as well who believe the gospel. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, Who did he bless? Us. He blessed us. Who's that? The children of the covenant. When did he bless us? In eternity past. He's blessed us. We didn't know about it. We didn't understand it. We didn't believe it. But God had blessed us already. It's already prepared for us in the counsel and covenant of God. Who hath blessed us with all... Now, he hath. It's a done deal. He hath blessed us. Our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And God said, my counsel shall stand, and I will do, or I will perform or do all of my pleasure. Now his pleasure was to bring all his children home to final glory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he hath blessed us. He's going to bless us again and again and again. He has blessed us and he is blessing us. We are blessed of God. People say, well, you run into somebody on the street and say, how are you doing? Well, I'm blessed, they say. I asked one fellow, I said, well, are you blessed from eternity past? He said, well, I'm blessed to everlasting. I said, yeah, but are you blessed from everlasting? He stumbled a little bit and he finally said, yeah, I guess it was. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing that God has is ours in Christ Jesus. If you're the weakest in faith, the most unloving, the most selfish of his children, and his children are all of those things. We're all sinners still in ourselves, but we have every spiritual blessing that God has. It's ours because we're not in ourselves. We're in the Lord Jesus Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Well, we were chosen in Christ as branches in the vine, as stones in the living building, as members in his body. We have a spiritual union with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have had a covenant union with him from eternity past. That's good news. That's good news. There's one church. Look here in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:4. There's one body. Now that body's got a lot of members. Some of the members are in heaven already. A lot of them are. But there's still some on earth. But they're just one body. They're scattered all over this globe. But there's one body. And they all agree on who Jesus Christ is and what he did. They all agree on the central issues of salvation. They agree on who is Lord. There's one body. There's one body and one spirit. Every one of those persons is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, who is to them a spirit of truth, so they know the truth when they hear it. He's a spirit of faith. He it is that makes them to believe. He is a spirit of life. He's all things to them. It is Christ in you, living in you by his Spirit. The Spirit of Christ dwells in His people. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of His calling, and that is the blessed hope of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being perfectly conformed to His image. Isn't that a good hope? That someday we'll lay aside this sinful mass of humanity that we have, that we this dead body that we carry around with us, and we'll be, even it will be turned into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For the creature itself waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. One Lord, one faith, one body of truth called the doctrine of Christ, and one baptism. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, as members in His body, at union with Him, in Him, chosen us in Him, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Were we made willing? We were in the day of His power. It was the Holy Spirit that made us willing to believe, to rest in Christ, to forsake our own righteousness and turn only to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, to rest in Christ and in His salvation, and leave our works completely out of the picture, to leave us completely out of the picture and trust Christ alone. Our salvation is not of ourselves. It is in the purpose of God and by the purchase of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we had absolutely nothing to do with it. It's a free gift. Absolutely free. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Not of works which we have done, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Not of works. Not of what we do. What He did, what He finished, what He completed, and what's over and done. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. What a mercy that God predestined us. God determined our end before our beginning. That we knew about. Of course, we had a beginning in the mind of God in eternity past. He thought on us from everlasting. He delighted in us from everlasting in the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath, past tense, hath made us accepted in the beloved. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. When? In His never beginning counsel. Had no beginning. It's eternal as God Himself is eternal. His counsel and His covenant came from His counsel. The thoughts and intents and purposes of His own heart and mind were made over into a covenant. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Look at 1 John 5:20. 1 John 5:20. And you know that the Son of God has come. Everybody in whom the Spirit of truth is knows that the Son of God has come. And we know that because the Spirit of truth is in us. That's how we know anything about God, is by the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we might know him that is true. And look at this. And we are in him that is true.
Amen.
Even in his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Verse 7, back to Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have. In whom we have. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Galatians 3:13. But we have redemption through his blood. We have been bought.
Amen.
We've already been bought. We've already been purchased. Christ already owns us. And there is no new redemption going on now. There's manifestation of redemption that took place at Calvary. It's made known to some people as time goes on. Those whom Christ redeemed, he calls them, reveals himself unto them, but there's no new redemption. That happened at the cross when he couldn't come down.
Amen.
He couldn't save himself because he was saving us. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. God worked out a scheme, in all wisdom and prudence, that could not fail to bring his children home to glory. Look at Romans 4:16. Therefore it is of faith. Well, how does anybody have faith? God gives you faith. God knows who he will give faith. God purposed to give them that faith before the foundation of the world. And the faith that he gives them is the faith of God's elect. He causes every one of them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't do it themselves. They don't choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They just find that they do.
That's true.
One minute they didn't believe, the next nanosecond they did. How'd that happen? God put his Spirit in their heart. And he does one thing. He teaches the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But look at this. Romans 4:16. I think it's a precious verse, as with all the scriptures. Therefore it is our faith, which is the gift of God, and he only gives it to whom he will. And he gives it in power. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, requiring nothing of you. It's a free gift. That it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now, isn't that wonderful? That the promise might be sure to all the seed, all his children, all whom he foreordained to eternal life, all whom he put in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, all whom he separated and sanctified and preserved them in Christ Jesus. Therefore it is our faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Whose promise? God's promise. How sure is that? It's as sure as His throne. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. That's all believers. Back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. There was nothing outside of God that moved Him to do anything. Everything that God does, has done, or ever will do, comes from Himself. He's not affected by anybody outside of Him. He's God. look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51. It's in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness. Not because I'm a good fella, which David wasn't. Not because according to that which was in God, according to God's loving kindness. According to the unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. It was according to what was in God, not according to what was in man. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. Look at 1 Timothy 5:21. 1 Timothy 5:21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing with partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. The elect angels will be gathered together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of the host of the election from among men will be gathered together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll be a protection to all of us, to the angels and men. Now, men, the elect of God from among men, were elected to the remission of sins and salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Angels were elected to a perseverance in their first estate. They didn't fall. When Lucifer tempted about a third of them and drew them after him in his rebellion, two-thirds were kept secure by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Now, an inheritance is something you get because you're family affiliations. And we're the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not our own. In whom we have obtained inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. So quit worrying. He worketh all things after the counsel of His will. He does as He will, when He will, upon whom He will, according to His will. And He only works according to His will. Nothing happens to us by accident. There are no accidents with God. He watches over and keeps His children. And He preserves us. And we are preserved unto His heavenly kingdom. I believe the time's short. I do. I surely do. This world, men of this world, have absolutely no respect whatsoever for the Word of God. That's a good thing to go by, to show our depravity, that we do not respect neither God nor His Word. I'm saying the men of the world. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen.